Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Put It In Your Pocket, your source for all niche music trivia. My name's Caroline, and today I am so excited to be talking about one of my favorite songs of all time, and what is in my opinion one of the greatest songs of all time, You Get What You Give by New Radicals. I'm excited to talk about this song because it's definitely one that everybody knows. Obviously it's a huge hit, and I think it's one that everybody enjoys, but we really don't give it enough credit for how amazing and masterful it really is. And so I'm just really excited to delve into all the details of its creation, talk about some things it inspired, and overall just like the impact that it left, because it is a really amazing song. And I don't really think that we talk about it as much as we should, because I think when you're making the list in your head, you know, of like the greatest songs of all time, this one almost never pops up. But I really do think that it is the perfect pop song and such a standout from its decade that it should be included in all of those discussions. So don't just take my word for it. I'm going to introduce this song just right off the bat and talk about some of the influential people that have kind of credited it among the years. So Joni Mitchell, of all people, actually praised You Get What You Give and said in the liner notes of her 2004 compilation that it, quote, rose from the swamp of Mick music like a flower of hope. And then in 2006, Ice-T, interestingly enough, on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, said that in the last few years, You Get What You Give is the only thing that has really grabbed me musically, which is a crazy quote. I mean, that's not including all of the amazing rap that was coming out of that era. I've always thought that was a really weird thing for him to say, but super interesting, and you would never think that You Get What You Give would be a standout for him. And then Annie Zelinsky, who's a writer for the AV Club, said that it was, quote, surprisingly influential on popular music, just in a non-obvious, almost obscure way. It's both a nostalgic artifact and a song that transcends absolutely any era. In a Time interview, the U2 lead guitarist, The Edge, said that You Get What You Give is the song he's most jealous of and that he would have really loved to have written it. So all of those are just, that's just a really eclectic group of people saying all of these amazing things about this song, which I think shows that it doesn't just transcend any time, but it transcends any genre. And I really do think that's what makes a perfect song, if it is just amazing music. Because there are certain things that are amazing and stand out within their genre or within their time, but this is something that just goes above all of that. So I think that that's super interesting. I also love Zaleski's quote where she says that it's a nostalgic artifact as well, because it does sound very 90s to me, not instrumentally or vocally even, but just its message, I think, is one that really fits within the time period that it came out in. But it's definitely one that we need right now as well. So don't just take their words for it if that's still not enough for you. You Get What You Give is on a lot of lists, and so I'm gonna list them off and try not to get out of breath. Starting off in 2002, VH1 voted it as the 64th greatest one-hit wonder of all time. In 2007, the song was voted number 90 on VH1's 100 Greatest Songs of the 90s. It was listed number 440 on Blender's list of the 500 Greatest Songs Since You Were Born. In 2010, it was number 106 on Pitchfork's Top 200 Tracks of the 90s. And in 2011, VH1 ranked it as 11th on the 40 Greatest One-Hit Wonders of the 90s. Woo! Okay, so obviously a huge smash hit in that decade, so that kind of bumps it up already. But I really do just think that as far as one-hit wonders go, what a one to have. I mean, if you could pick anything, be known for this. But I kind of wanted to do this episode not even just to talk about how amazing this song is, but also to discuss New Radicals, which is the band behind it, and the really cool stuff that they've inspired as well that you probably don't know a lot about. So we're building up to You Get What You Give, but first I want to play you guys a song that was written by Greg Alexander, who is the front man of New Radicals and like the mastermind behind everything that they did. They only put out one album. So people will call them a one-hit wonder, which is technically true, but one, it's extremely difficult to follow up a hit like You Get What You Give because it's so high right off the bat that it's really difficult to do anything that even measures up. But two, they only put out their debut album and then disbanded, so they never really had the physical chance to do anything else. But Greg Alexander is a very prolific songwriter, and one of his most notable songs is Murder on the Dance Floor, performed by Sophie Ellis-Bextor, and gained a lot of recent popularity in the past few years, but was also huge when it came out as well, especially in Europe. But it's just a really great, solid dance track, and definitely a standout from its time as well. And I think that this song is super interesting because you would never have expected it to come from Greg Alexander, but it kind of makes sense in parallel parallels to You Get What You Give in some ways. So this song, if you haven't heard it before, I think you'll recognize it when I play it. But it's off Ellis Bextor's debut studio album, Read My Lips, and it was released on the 3rd of December 2001. It peaked at number 2 on the UK singles chart and became a top 10 hit worldwide. It was within the top 3 on Australia, New Zealand, and 4 European countries charts. In the US, it reached number 9 on the Billboard Maxi Singles Sales Chart. It was reported to have been the most played song in Europe in 2002, which is crazy. It's very European. I don't know. I feel like I say that about a lot of songs, but it's a really good like dance club track, and it feels definitely like something that you would hear overseas. But this has a really cool story behind it as well, so I'm excited to talk about that. In 1994, Greg Alexander wrote the song's hook and melody when he was in the back of his Ford Mustang after it hadn't started. He was supposed to be going out clubbing in the Detroit house clubs that evening, but his song just wouldn't start and wouldn't start. And so he reached for an acoustic guitar that he had in the back seat, because he's Greg Alexander, and he began to sing the tagline, "It's murder on the dance floor, but you better not kill the groove." Later in an interview, he told The Guardian that it was, quote, "just a dummy lyric that was kind of sung for fun, but then I couldn't better it," which is super interesting. I think that's so cool and such an interesting glimpse into his process, because on the surface, I think you're like, yeah, okay, but that's a good line, y'all. That's a good tag and a really solid chorus opener. And I think that, yeah, how could you better that? It's so much fun. But in 1998, he planned to record the song with New Radicals on their studio album, Maybe You've Been Brainwashed Too, which is what You Get What You Give is on. It's the only one they ever put out. But they chose to do You Get What You Give instead and release that as the lead single, which is, I don't know if that was a good choice or not. I mean, obviously, they're both huge hits, so it's fine either way. But I often wonder what would have happened if it would have gone the opposite way, and what You Get What You Give would have become after that. But after he disbanded New Radicals in 1999, Greg Alexander moved to Notting Hill in London and met Sophie Ellis Bextor, and he played her the demo because she was looking for some songs to record. And they ultimately like retooled some certain parts of the songs, completed the lyrics, and then later that year they put the song out. So Alexander said that he was stuck between Murder on the Dance Floor or You Get What You Give for their first single, and said that he almost flipped a coin to decide between the two songs, which is crazy. And he said that there was a lot of pressure from like the band's recording company saying that they wanted something really, really quickly, but he didn't really have the budget or the time to finish both of the songs. He described Murder on the Dance Floor as a monster, but argued that You Get What You Give was a masterpiece, saying that it was everything he'd ever wanted to say inside 5 minutes, which is so beautiful. And it absolutely is a powerhouse song and very anthemic. And I like I said, if you're going to have a major hit, that's the one to have, man. And so I'm really glad that he chose this song. Wonderful lead single, but I've always wondered about, you know, what Murder on the Dance Floor could have been if recorded by them. But you guys don't have to wonder, because in 2024, the movie Saltburn came out, and the end credit song of it was Murder on the Dance Floor, and the song blew up on social media, became popular again, and charted back on the charts again. So I think that that kind of inspired New Radicals to pick it up again, and they actually recorded their version of the song last year. So I'm going to play a clip from their recording of it for you guys before I play the Ellis Bextor version that everybody knows. So here's a little clip of Murder on the Dance Floor as recorded by Greg Alexander. Yeah, even though it's clearly more of a demo than the other version, I actually like the Alexander version a lot as well. It had to grow on me, I'll admit it, and it's more rough around the edges, but it's so fun seeing what the early process of that song was like. And I like that they kept a lot of the old lyrics in there, so that's interesting. I would definitely give the full version a listen if I were you. But without further ado, here's Murder on the Dance Floor, written by Greg Alexander, but recorded by Sophie Ellis Bextor.
It's murder on the dance floor. You better not kill the groove, DJ. Gonna burn this house right down. Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know about your kind. And so, 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 and so I'll have to.
Yeah, that song is definitely going to be stuck in your head for the rest of time. I'm so sorry. Sometimes we play stuff on this show that I haven't, like, listened to myself in a while, and I just heard that song again, and it just brought me right back to summer of last year. What a time. But, yeah, that's just such a fun, like, little dance track, but we're going to take it down a notch a little bit, and we're going to play a song called Someday We'll Know. I don't know how many people are going to recognize this song. It was a minor hit in the wake of the release of You Get What You Give. It was the second single off of Maybe You've Been Brainwashed Too, and it followed You Get What You Give. And I really do just think that it was too much in the shadow of You Get What You Give to be a big hit. But sonically, it's a lot slower, more of a sad song. Definitely not the behemoth that You Get What You Give is, but it's still really solid, and I think it's a good taste for what New Radicals was doing outside of that song. So it was released in March 1999 as a second single off their only album, like I said. And the group actually dissolved before the single came out. And I think that's also one of the big reasons why it failed to match the success of You Get What You Give. And in contrast, I feel like Someday We'll Know was a top 40 hit overseas, like in Brazil and places like that. But it only made number 38 here in the US. And then it really dropped down super low after like the next wave of singles came out the next month. And so it's not like a super memorable track historically. Rolling Stone called the song reflective, and Consequence of Sound said that the song is, quote, relatable to the ever-been-broken-hearted, with lines like, I'm speeding by the place that I met you for this 97th time tonight. If I could ask God just one question, why aren't you here with me tonight? That's definitely the standout lyric from this song. It's been covered by a lot of artists, like Mandy Moore, most notably, John Foreman of Switchfoot, America, and Hall & Oates, which are all groups that are more into, like, the softer, more, like, pop rock ballad, and this definitely sounds like that. New Radicals is actually heavily influenced by a lot of 70s pop rock, and you can definitely hear that more on songs like this rather than You Get What You Give, which to me is quintessentially 90s. But my favorite line out of the song is, someday we'll know if love could move a mountain, someday we'll know why the sky is blue, someday we'll know why I wasn't meant for you. So New Radicals, especially Greg Alexander, obviously, is someone who's a standout songwriter. He's really good at just making insanely human lyrics, and I feel like this is a good song to contrast with You Get What You Give, because You Get What You Give is such a power ballad that it's kind of an example of the best of ourselves, and it's not so much a deep reflection of kind of the human condition, like a lot of the more down-to-earth stuff we play. It's more so something to aspire to. It's like he's setting the bar almost, and it's a very inspiring song. But I feel like something like Someday We'll Know is definitely a lot more on our current level, and I think a lot of people probably resonated with it a little bit more. And so this is just like a really nice song to put on and feel something very different than you feel from their major hits. And so I think this is a good one to play before we get to You Get What You Give. And if you've never heard this song before, this really is a good indicator of their other stuff. Deeply reflective, kind of philosophical, definitely resonates more on a human level with a lot of people, and I think it's definitely a good one to have in your pocket. So enjoy Someday We'll Know before we get to the most exciting part of this episode.
Miles outside Chicago, can't stop driving, I don't know why. So many questions I need an answer, 2 years later you're still on my mind. Whatever happened to Amelia Earhart, who holds stars up in the sky? Is true love just once in a lifetime?
Love can move a mountain. Someday we'll know.
I mentioned earlier that one of the strengths of You Get What You Give is its ability to like build on itself. And I think that Someday We'll Know is an even better example of that, honestly. I love its ebbs and flows. I love how deeply personal it feels, even when it's going a little bit heavier. Oh, just a very solid song, and definitely a good indicator of their other stuff if you want to check that out. Maybe You've Been Brainwashed 2 really is a fun album, and really exciting to explore if you've never heard any of their other tracks. So yeah, definitely go and check that out if you're interested. But finally, we've arrived to what I centered this whole episode around. You Get What You Give, released on November 3rd, 1998. It reached number 36 on the Billboard Hot 100 in the US and number 8 on the Modern Rock Tracks chart. Outside the US, it reached number 5 in the UK, 4 in Ireland, and number 1 in Canada and New Zealand. So this song also has a really interesting history just because it was such a huge super hit. During the 2020 presidential campaign, it was used as the walk-on theme for Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff. And if you're not familiar with Doug, my buddy, this is such a Doug song. Oh my gosh. His whole, like, thing, his whole platform is just so this song. So this was picked perfectly for him. Whoever on his team picked this for him, it was perfect. But on January 20th, 2021, New Radicals reunited for the first time in 22 years to perform this song during an inauguration performance on the day Joe Biden was sworn in. And it was a favorite of President Biden's son, Beau, who died in 2015. At his funeral, his sister Ashley actually recited some of the lyrics in his eulogy. So it's really personal to that family as well. The band had actually rejected offers to perform over the past 22 years, but said that they wanted to honor that specific day and Beau Biden, who was a military veteran. Greg Alexander said before the performance that, quote, "We pledged that if Joe Biden won, we'd get together and play our little song in memory and honor of the new president and his son, Beau, also with a prayer of Joe being able to bring our country together again with compassion, honesty, and justice for a change," which I think is really beautiful because that's the whole point of this song. And how disappointing would it be to find out that the creator of this song didn't actually stand for those things, but he really does practice what he preaches, and the ability to put aside any other past issues, you know, with the band. If they haven't been together in 22 years, that's a pretty solid indicator that they're not going to, you know, continue any projects. But coming together for something like a presidential swearing in, I think is really beautiful. Greg Alexander himself said that the central theme of the song was, quote, "remembering to fly high and be completely off your head in a world where you can't control all elements." He said that he wrote the song after having a dream where he heard music coming from a house and walked in to find Joni Mitchell, who told him to have a seat. Which is so cool, because later on, Joni Mitchell, like we said at the beginning of the episode, would go on to praise this song as one of her favorites. So I think that's such a cool full circle moment. And I really hope that Greg Alexander, you know, heard that somehow, that she said all those things. I think that's so great. A lot of the media attention that this song got centered on the closing lyrics, which is my favorite part of the whole song, where he says, "Health insurance ripoff lying, FDA big bankers buying, fake computer crashes dining, cloning while they're multiplying, fashion shoots with Beck and Hanson, Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson, you're all fakes, run to your mansions." Alexander said that he wrote this song and this specific section as a test to see whether the media would focus on political issues that this song brings up, or the few lines of like the celebrity dissing and the super petty stuff. And as suspected, a considerable amount of the press began to talk about the name dropping and try and bring other celebrities that were mentioned kind of into the conversation and like see what their thoughts on it were. And it kind of became a whole thing. Marilyn Manson himself said that he was, quote, "not mad he said he'd beat me up. I just don't want to be used in the same sentence as Courtney Love. I'll crack his skull open if I see him," talking about Greg Alexander, which is super funny. And Beck said that he saw Greg Alexander in a supermarket in the line checking out, which is crazy, and said that it was never meant to be personal and that he apologized to him. So, you know, that's sweet, I guess. But I do think that's super interesting that that specific, like, part was on purpose. But this whole song is just littered with standout lyrics. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing because, one, it's super long, but also I feel like you guys get it. I feel like everybody really loves this song. I'm just trying to give it the attention that I think it deserves, but some of my favorite standout parts are just at the beginning when the music is starting to build up and you're like, oh yeah, this is what I was hoping for. It's this song. And then it just goes full out with the guitar. I just love it. But I love the line, "the bad rich, God's flying in for your trial." That's just a super cool, unique thing to say. I love, "will you feel your tree is breaking? Just bend. stuff like that that you just wouldn't hear in an ordinary pop song, you know, little interesting tidbits that I think could have just been said outright, because this song could be taken super literally. And so if you could just say, like, when the night is falling, you cannot find a friend, you know, you don't feel like you want to break, just bend, but you feel your tree is breaking, you know, something like that that we kind of take for granted when talking about the lyrics of a song. But you have to have such an imaginative, creative mind to throw in those little curveballs where you wouldn't expect them to be, if that makes sense. And we talked about that a lot when discussing Pretty Odd by Panic at the Disco, about how every song is just that much more magical when you divert from what is expected of you lyrically. And this song does that. And I think that that's part of its magic and allure. This really does feel like a magical song. And every time you hear it, it just takes you to an amazing place. There's really no other song like it. I really can't compare it to anything else. And that's the marker of something that is just genius. And so I really hope you guys love this song as well. I hope you've found a newfound appreciation for it. But I just think that it is so much fun, so amazing, and just so well written, well constructed. Everything is amazing about it. So I'm so excited to introduce it. Here is You Get What You Give by New Radicals. I mean, I really feel like there's nothing that I can say about that song that I haven't tried to say already. It's just got magic in it. That song just has so much magic in it, and I think it's a wonderfully human piece of art. And I just love it. I think everybody does. I don't really feel like I have to convince anybody this episode. It's just amazing. But thank you guys so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed those quick little facts about this song. And I was super excited to finally talk about it. I felt like the timing was right. So, you know, who knows what New Radicals will do in the future. We've gotten some surprise reunions from them as of late. So I don't know, maybe something cool. But thank you guys so much for listening. Again, let me know what you liked, what you'd like to hear next. And as always, my name's Caroline. This has been Put It In Your Pocket.